This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Pin Chasers, which is celebrating its 60th anniversary in the Tampa Bay area as a destination for date night, birthday parties, group outings, league play, or just in the heat of summer, a place to have some fun activity, get out of the heat, get out of the rain. 50 lanes at 4847 North Armenia, 40 lanes at 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, 32 lanes at 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills. Follow Pin Chasers via Facebook for regular updates on their daily specials. Late night specials are 5 nights a week. The Breakfast Bowl is 7 mornings a week. Cyber Bowling available on weekends. Also, remember, you never pay for your shoes at Pin Chasers. They are free to rent. Can you say something can be rented for free, or is it just a generous loan? Is it even called a loan? You're borrowing the shoes at Pin Chasers. And sometimes you don't have the socks to go with those bowling shoes. Just tell them. They will offer you a free pair of socks to go with those shoes. You do not need to return the socks, by the way. PinChasers.net. And Pin Chasers on Facebook. Congrats to Anthony Peroni on his 60th anniversary. Full Torque Fitness, also a huge supporter of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. At every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, including the sold-out Todd Wright Tour XXII golf tournament and holiday spectacular next month at West Chase Golf Club, Daniel Shipman and often a colleague bring massage tables out near the range, near the practice green, closest to the staging area, and usually near the range. They've done nearly 15 golf tournaments just in the month of November, even in a month where I wasn't hosting a golf tournament. They stretch players for free, and they talk one-on-one to people in the Tampa Bay area who play golf about how they can get more out of their game. Daniel Shipman has 3 simple questions for you. Do you experience lower back pain as a result of playing golf? Do you get tired playing 18 holes of golf? Do you feel like your hips are not working properly to achieve good golf shots? If you answered yes to any or all 3, Daniel Shipman can help you, put you through a Titleist Performance Institute screen to identify your limitations and help reduce or remove them. He'd love to talk to you, and he is one of the most organized and detail-oriented people I know. 727-351-5164, 727-351-5164, or visit fulltorquefitness.com. My email address, and if nothing else, I've issued this partly as a challenge to some of you who listen to the podcast and just want to take shots at me. And if you actually have any guts, you will come to me, put your name and your email on something, and allow me to respond to you. And perhaps we'll have a productive conversation. None of you have ever done it. Now, if you'd also just simply like to reach out, offer an additional comment, an additional thought, or perhaps something constructive, you can do that too. Posting it on a message board is cowardly. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. You can also follow me on social media. The social media that I am active on are Facebook. I'm Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. That's easy. And Instagram at ToddWright2019. I said around the time the first college football playoff rankings came out that the chances of the Pac-12 getting into the playoff were very slim. And as I record this early Sunday morning, following Oregon's faceplant in the desert on national television for everyone to see against an Arizona State team that had lost not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 games in a row. And really, Oregon seemed to only have one thing going, to give them a chance to win that game, and it was an outstanding performance by a wide receiver named Johnny Johnson, who was clearly playing up to the level of, he was from Chandler, Arizona, not far from Tempe, Arizona, and he was magnificent. One of the better single game performances I've seen from any player in any football game this year outside of the quarterback position. Pro, college, doesn't matter. He was fantastic. Kept Oregon in the game. But in the end, Oregon, according to the College Football Playoff Committee, the number six team in the nation with one loss early in the year on a neutral field to Auburn in a game they gagged in the fourth quarter. An Auburn team that seems to lose every big game they play. Florida, loss. LSU, loss. Georgia, loss. They host Alabama this weekend, by the way. We'll get to that. The committee had propped Oregon up. And let's just put it this way. Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Herm Edwards, you just played to save the integrity of the College Football Playoff Committee. Because the College Football Playoff Committee this year is chaired by the athletic director of Oregon. And specifically, last week, when talking on ESPN Live about what the committee thought, he spoke on behalf of his team. That's wrong. And you can tell me this, recuse himself from the room when they're talking about Oregon. Yeah, it looked really bad. And it was going to look really, really bad if Oregon got in the playoff as the four seed with one loss to an Auburn team that Alabama can beat this weekend with a backup quarterback at Auburn when Oregon lost to Auburn at Jerry World. The Rob Mullins conflict of interest was clear. And now we monitor the Utah situation. Utah has one loss. My expectation is that because of Oregon's loss, the committee will now simply elevate Utah to the number six spot. Is it sensible? Well, based on the numbers, yeah. Did Oklahoma or anyone else do enough to jump over Utah, which won against an inferior Arizona team late Saturday night? No, Oklahoma didn't, but many of us still question why the committee didn't reward Oklahoma for going on the road to an undefeated 13th-ranked Baylor. Why Baylor was ranked down at 13, one of the lowest ever unbeaten Power Fives in college football playoff history. Oklahoma was down 25 at Baylor in a true road game and won the game and only moved up to number 9, even behind Penn State. So my expectation is, following what the committee is doing here, now that the clear conflict of interest, or at least some of it, is gone, propping up the committee chairman's school in a position to make the playoff, Utah will inherit the Oregon number six spot, and Oklahoma will move up to number seven. So let's talk about just the big picture here on what the committee seems to be doing this year, and I don't like it. In recent years, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have not gotten teams into the playoff. And there's been a lot of complaining from those conferences. From the Pac-12, it has not been justified. From the Big Ten, I get it a little bit. Now, there have been occasions previously where Ohio State has gotten the benefit of the doubt and has gotten into the playoff. But in recent years, say a Penn State did not get into the playoff and felt they were worthy of being a playoff team, as one example. The committee seems to this year feel they owe the Pac-12 and the Big Ten something. The fact that they feel they owe the Pac-12 another shot for the first time in 3 years. No Pac-12 team has been in the playoff for 3 years. They don't owe the Pac-12 anything. It's this simple. If you don't have a team worthy of being in the top four, that's the Pac-12's problem, not the committee's. And as far as the Big Ten is concerned, I'm not going to get into who deserves number one more between Ohio State and LSU. In the end, I think this ultimately plays out. Sure, Ohio State could go into the playoff unbeaten, and LSU could go into the playoff unbeaten, but I'll leave that argument to you guys. But the way the committee has propped up Penn State in rankings as number four, how high it put Minnesota, how Penn State was number eight ahead of Oklahoma last week, it kind of feels like to me that the committee is saying, well, we not only owe the Big Ten, and if Ohio State gets in, that's great as an undefeated champ, but maybe they deserve a second team. There's, if you're going based on previous years, then you're not doing your job. Then the people who are on this committee should be removed from the committee and find another way to put the committee together and remove anyone with a potential conflict of interest, let alone the chairman of the damn committee, the AD of Oregon. All right, so let's talk about Utah a little bit. Because now Utah, the argument will be going forward, would a one-loss Utah be more worthy of the last spot in the playoff than a one-loss Alabama? No. No, they wouldn't. Utah's non-conference schedule has nothing. Nothing on it. I understand that BYU is an annual game. I get that. I've often wondered what it would be like to tailgate at a Utah BYU game, and I think you can figure out the reasons. But that's it. The other two non-conference games for Utah, as much of a joke as Alabama's non-conference schedule. So Utah gets no edge on Alabama for non-conference schedule. None. Go take a look at Utah's non-conference for yourself. While you're there, look at Utah's wins. Tell me if you see anything that says, oh yeah, on a neutral field in the playoff, they can beat anybody. You tell me who Utah has beaten that is a quality win. Because if you're going to wave the Washington flag at me, you haven't been paying attention to what the Washington Huskies haven't been doing all year, including losing last night at Colorado. Chris Peterson probably should have never left Boise. I'm sure he's made a lot more money. Seattle's a wonderful place to call home, a very unique city. But he did bigger things with Boise than he's doing with UW. So I don't see where Utah's credentials come from. I don't see where the Pac-12 credentials come from. Also, Utah's loss, and I watched this game live, was, sure, it was at USC. They lost by seven. They lost to USC's third-string quarterback. The much-touted starter for USC was knocked out in one of the early games this year for the season. So they were down to their second-team quarterback. He was knocked out of that game very early. Utah fell to USC's third-team quarterback in that game, and they were shredded. And it's not like USC has done enough since then. They've been better, where you can prop that up and say, wow, what a quality team USC is. You know, we don't demote Utah for that loss. Yes, you do. Because USC was playing a quarterback who had never played before, stepped right in. And if Utah's calling card is defense, why did a third-team quarterback rip it apart? The last time the Pac-12 got in the playoff, it was a no contest 3 years ago in a Peach Bowl game against Alabama. Alabama didn't play great, but at no point in that game was Alabama so much as threatened by Washington. You got to go all the way back to the first year of this format when Oregon defeated the defending champion Florida State Seminoles, led by Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston, in the Rose Bowl. And Oregon hammered Florida State before losing the national championship game to Ezekiel Elliott and Ohio State, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks later. That's it. That's the last time the Pac-12 not only made an impact on the playoff, but had a worthy team in the playoff. Putting Washington in the playoff 3 years ago, no, they didn't deserve to be there. They proved it on the field. They were not worthy of being a playoff team. Oregon wasn't. Utah is not either. The good part about Oregon losing was somehow they were going to try to sell you this bill of goods that Oregon, with one loss to Auburn on a neutral field, was somehow a more worthy team than Alabama, who had, in this scenario, if it plays out, a one-loss Alabama that had beaten Auburn on Auburn's home field, when Alabama's only loss was to an unbeaten LSU, which would go into the playoff as 1 or 2. Clearly flawed reasoning, and the only thing I can see out of it is, A, the committee was chaired by the athletic director of Oregon, conflict of interest, and B, the committee feels like it owes the Pac-12 something and the Big Ten something. Now, I have no problem with Ohio State if they went out getting in the playoffs. None. No problem with it at all. But that the Big Ten deserved a second team in the playoff, that whole thinking with propping Penn State up at 4 early, and then, well, yeah, so Minnesota lost to Iowa, but what if, you know, they could still get in as a one loss? No. No, don't sell me that either. So if that's where the committee was going, fortunately, the way it's playing out on the field will preserve the integrity of what the college football playoff is supposed to be, because this committee this year is not doing a very good job. I feel there's a very good chance now, despite the loss or because of the loss at Arizona State, that Oregon will beat Utah in the Pac-12 title game to at least earn the right to go to the Rose Bowl. So the ironic part would probably be if Utah won the Pac-12 title game, Oregon would still likely go to the Rose Bowl because the committee would push Utah through. But I think Oregon is the better team and is going to want even more to win that game now to prove, after the loss to Arizona State was a real wake-up call, that they're the best the Pac-12 has. And you know what? I think they are. But I don't think they're top four in the nation level. And the Pac-12 just, I talked about this on a previous podcast as well. This whole Power Five thing, you know, I laugh about how the American claims there's a Power Six. Honestly, I don't even think there's a Power Five. I don't think the Pac-12 is in the same class as some of the other conferences. Now, I'll acknowledge, the ACC is shit. It is shit. Prior to Miami's embarrassing crosstown loss at Marlins Park, to FIU. The Orange Bowl game, which in years that they don't host a semifinal, their host team is an ACC team. Clearly, they can't have Clemson. It looked like they had planned to take a 7-5 Miami to play in their game just to sell some tickets because the ACC is so bad. Now it appears they're kind of going to have no choice but to take, say, a Va Tech or a Virginia because one of those teams is going to get to 9 wins. Will it sell tickets? No. Will it bring eyeballs to the TV? No. But they have the ACC tie-in, and the ACC is bad. But guess what? Clemson up top is better than anything the Pac-12 has had since Oregon in the first year of the college football playoff. So you don't penalize Clemson for just running through their entire schedule unbeaten, and they've won, what, 2 of the last 3 national championships. But the Pac-12, to me, is not in this argument, much as the committee, for whatever reason, trying to give a second team this year to the Big Ten. Stop feeling you owe something to these partner conferences. If the Rose Bowl and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten do not want to be a part of this agreement going forward, let them pull themselves out. They'll only be, what's the phrase? Something, your nose despite your face. That's all they'd be doing. They won't do it. They need to increase the level of quality teams that are in their conference, and that is done internally. So Herm Edwards, thank you. Always been a fan of yours. You do play to win the game. And with Arizona State's win over Oregon, you just, for now, preserved the integrity of the college football playoff and prevented a major conflict of interest with the committee propping up their chairman's school, Oregon, into the playoff undeservedly. Now let's see if things just play out and Utah gets booted out the same way, or if the committee's going to try to make the case that a one-loss Utah would somehow be more worthy of the fourth spot in the playoff over a one-loss Alabama if Alabama beats Auburn at Auburn. Because I don't think they are. And most of the nation would tell you that too. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Full Torque Fitness. Remember, Daniel Shipman works individually and with small group training to help you get more out of your golf game. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and you get tired playing golf, you experience lower back pain playing golf, or you feel your hips are not working properly, talk to Daniel Shipman about these things, and he can help you. 727-351-5164 or visit fulltorquefitness.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast and the Todd Wright Tour are also supported by Pin Chaser, celebrating their 60th anniversary in the Tampa Bay area with 3 locations, daily specials, a destination for group outings, birthday parties, league play. Visit pinchasers.net or follow Pin Chasers on Facebook for more about all of that from Anthony Peroni and Company. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.